This meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors will now come to order. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin this morning's meeting with a presentation from Chief Powers on Probation Services Week. Mr. Powers?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. I want to thank your board for proclaiming the week of July 19th to July 25th as Probation Services Week in Stanislaus County. Probation Services Week will be celebrated nationally as well as statewide and at the county level. Probation is certainly an important part of our public safety community and certainly an important part in Stanislaus County's protective shield. I'd like to highlight a few of the things that the probation department has accomplished this year to give you just an overarching idea of the type of value that the probation department brings to our community. Probation department collected over $1.6 million in fines, fees, and restitution in our community. Over $500,000 of that was victim restitution. Our highest collection during the year was one account of over $100,000 for multiple victims. We conducted over 2,000 searches of offenders and their property this year. That's over 6 searches each and every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We completed over 21,000 contacts of probationers in our community. It's over 57 probationers contacted 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We processed over 4,500 new probationers into our department this last year. We have 3 individuals, and I'll ask them to proceed over to the clerk to come up and receive the proclamation. We're going to receive the proclamation from the chair of the board today. The 3 individuals were recently acknowledged as employees of the year. They are David Costa, a DPO-2 assigned to the Riverbank School District, Sandy Taylor, a probation corrections officer 2 assigned to Juvenile Hall, and Kelly Valentine, a confidential assistant 3 also assigned to our juvenile institutions. These 3 individuals certainly are the best of the best and are reflective of the types of values that we certainly hold dear in the probation department. As an example of the leadership of the probation department, both statewide and nationally, I'd like to highlight one program that we've recently begun, and that's the performance-based systems program in our institution. We are one of 2 institutions in the state of California that are a member of this program. This is a national program that takes institutions, juvenile institutions. It's sponsored by the Council of Juvenile Corrections Administrators, which is a national organization. We are one of a limited number of institutions nationally that participate in this program. This allows us to compare ourselves to other institutions nationally and statewide, of which I said there are only 2 so far in the state of California that have done this. This is just one example of how the Stanislaus County Probation Department leads the way in this state and I believe nationally. And it's because of individuals like these 3. We have quality employees who provide an excellent service to our county taxpayers and our citizens. They do it day in and day out, as I said earlier, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I would like at this point to ask all of the members of the probation department that are here today to stand and be acknowledged for their fine service to our communities. It's certainly my pleasure and with great pride to be able to lead this organization. And Mr. Chairman, at this point, I would give you the mic and ask that you give the proclamation to those staff.
Well, I have a board resolution for probation week. I've been out with your department many times over the last 4.5 years. Like Supervisor Chiesa and I went out together the last time. So you really do a great service. And, you know, in this last drug court that we had just last week, some of the people that were graduating from drug court actually thanked the probation department for their help into straightening their lives out. So even the people that you supervise and sometimes arrest do thank you in the end when they get their life together. I won't read the entire resolution. You do a lot of good things for the community, but let me read the last of the recitals. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim the week of July 19th through the 25th, 2009, as Probation Services Week and encourage all citizens to honor the law enforcement professionals and to recognize their achievements. You certainly have a lot of achievements now. So, and you have a new dog, too, which found some marijuana under my chair. So I don't know. Would you like to say a few words?
No, I'm just happy to be working. I'm just happy to be working in, you know, with all my fellow workers. I love my job. I've been there almost 4 years, and I can say every day I go to work, I wake up, and I love to go there.
I just like to say that it's an honor and a pleasure to work for the probation department. There is not a better department in the whole county.
It's pretty much been said, but I'm honored to be able to be here to receive this proclamation on behalf of my department, and we have a great department. It's a wonderful place to work, and I think that we're really offering some great services to the community.
Okay, well, thank you for coming, Chief. You're doing a great job with the department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
We will now move to our second presentation by Tom Chagnon, Stanislaus County Department Superintendent of Schools. Mr. Chagnon, it's great to have you back again.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here and return, speak to you regarding the issues affecting the County Office of Education. And before Mr. Powers and all of his staff leave, I just want to commend them and thank them for the outstanding work that they do. I know that we work closely with probation, and I've attended several of the events, and they just do an outstanding job, and they do it with a lot of passion, and so congratulations to Mr. Powers and his fine department. I was told once that you can always tell when a gentleman has something wise to say when he starts out by saying, my wife said. So my wife said, keep this brief today, and I'm going to do that. Before you have a one-page summary. It's an update. And as we know, most of the headlines in the paper recently affecting this community has to deal with budget issues, and I'm going to stay away from the budget side of things because, as we all are wont to say, it is what it is, and we're going to get through with that. I would like to just give you an update on some of the activities and things that we're proud of in Stanislaus County as far as the education side of the house. And the first that I want to touch on is Fit for the Future campaign. As you know, I came last year and said that we're going to launch this activity and we're really going to put our place on the state map. And indeed, we did. As you can read some of those highlighted areas that last year, the year before, we had 4 schools in Stanislaus County participate in the Governor's Fitness Challenge, and this past year, we had 57 schools that actively participated. We had over 80, almost half of the schools in the county sign up and to some level participate. It goes on to say that 14 of the Stanislaus County schools consistently ranked in the top 20 of the Governor's Challenge for the region. And teachers and parents and community, that was one of the nice things about this program. Everyone could get involved. And many of our smaller outlying communities really took this to heart. And they logged bonus hours. And as a result of this, Stanislaus County was just proclaimed the number one county in the state of California for the Governor's Fitness Challenge. We'll be going to Sacramento in September to receive a special recognition from the Governor himself. And out of 58 counties in the state, to say that Stanislaus County is number one in the state at something makes you feel very good. And it's tied to education. What we're hoping for is the schools that really went over the top in this activity, hopefully their test scores will reflect the physical activity, because research has shown that students that are physically active, their scores tend to be higher. And if we can show that, that will give us that much more ammunition as we enter into the second year of the Fit for the Future campaign. But keep in mind that we outdistance Los Angeles County, which has 14 times more students than we have in Stanislaus County. And to think that we left them in our rearview mirror is really pretty gratifying. And there's a little caveat to this, that the last little bullet to this item is 11 of our schools are finalists for the top state prize money, which is a $100,000 gym wellness facility that will be installed at that lucky schools. So we have 11 of our schools out of the top 20 that are in the running for this $100,000 gym set. And then there are some other $15,000, $10,000, and $5,000 awards as well. So we'll be notified of that in the early fall when we go to Sacramento to receive our first place recipients of that. Also, we're going to move this Fit for the Future into a year two, and we have already met with, as you know, many of our partners. This wouldn't have been possible without their generous contributions, Kaiser Permanente especially, but they look at this as a win-win, because if we can help families lead healthier lifestyles, obviously it's going to benefit them as well. This second year, we're going to focus more on nutrition, and we're going to be going out to all the districts as we did this year. Instead of focusing as much on the activity side, since they seem to have that down, we're going to focus more on the nutrition side. And we're really anxious to get that going. But a wonderful compliment to Stanislaus County for that. In addition, the next bullet is the distinguished schools. This last year, the state recognized middle schools, and those are the ones that were given awards as distinguished schools. And of the 20 that were recognized throughout the state of California, 3 middle schools in Stanislaus County were recognized as distinguished schools. They had a reception forum in Los Angeles and received their awards down there. So we're very proud of those middle schools. In addition, Teachers of the Year, for the first time ever, there were over 70 teachers that were nominated in our county for these very prestigious Teacher of the Year awards, and 2 have been recommended and selected to go on to the state finalists. So there are 10 teachers from around the state that are up for the state Teacher of the Year, and 2 of them come from our county. So we don't have the results of that just yet, but I'll probably shoot you off an email to give you the update on that, especially if we have one of them selected as the winner of that. Locally, from the County Office of Education, I wanted you to know that the public relations staff at the county office received 4 awards. They were humble because they said they were statewide, but they were national public relations award. They received one for the marketing of our Fit for the Future campaign, as well as some other projects that they worked on. So we're very delighted and proud of the work that our public relations staff does at the County Office of Education. And in these times, it's always nice to be proactive on the positive side when you're talking about fiscal issues. Also, MID presented the County Office of Education with their 2008 Excellence in Energy Efficiency Award, and we're very proud of this award. We were the top agency in Stanislaus County that took to heart energy-cutting costs, and we listed all the items that we have done to incorporate lower rates, and it worked out to our benefit fiscally, and as a result, we received this award from MID. I was able to go back to Washington, D.C., and members of the Obama administration presented Ramona Trejo with a national award for migrant and seasonal Head Start, and it was very gratifying. Ramona has been in our county office since she graduated from high school. She's been there for almost 20 years. And her parents started out as farm workers, and she followed them around and got her education, her college degree, and we're very proud of Ramona to receive this national award. A highlight there, she was the only one in the nation that received this award. Also, Tricia Dunlap, you see, received one of five national awards for the American Forest Foundation. This is environmental education consultant work that she does throughout the state. Also, at the county office, Bonnie Lo Jones Lee and Candy Wirtz were recognized statewide for the work that they do in our county office. And I could have 25 other superintendents representing Stanislaus County up here talking of the pride that they have in their districts, of awards that they have done, recognitions that they have received. But I just wanted you to know that we're extremely proud. Oftentimes you hear about some of the negative things that are happening, but we're very proud of the progress we're making. And the state tests were just released, and once again, Stanislaus County is keeping pace and gaining on closing that achievement gap as far as where we compare with other counties in the state of California. So we're keeping pace with that. The last two items that are bulleted, I just wanted you to know that on Thursday morning, I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag a little early, but on Thursday morning, there's going to be a big announcement at the Sunrise Rotary meeting, and they're going to have representatives from the Ford Motor Company Fund who are going to be celebrating with us as they give Stanislaus County this designation as a partner with them. We're very excited because this is a partnership between business and education, and we're very excited to roll our sleeves up and get to work with this. There are just a very few nationally counties that have been given this designation, and it's fewer than 20 that Ford has designated. And once you're designated, they stay with you for life. And so this isn't part of Ford Motor Company. This is a separate foundation endowment fund that they have that we're working with. So I'm very pleased and proud of that. And then coming soon for the next year, I wanted to let you know that we're going to be sending out in August an invitation to see a 15-minute press release video. And this highlights the career technical programs in Stanislaus County. And when you see this, you will just be amazed, because you'll think that you're at some high-tech industrial work area watching workers and employees interact, when in fact these were on our high school campuses in Stanislaus County. 15 minutes of, believe it or not, these are things that are happening in our ROP classes and career technical classes throughout the county. So we're really excited, and you'll be sure to get invited to this preview of this. And lastly, I just wanted to let you know that this fall, we are really pleased to open Stanislaus Military Academy. We have done a number of studies, and we have decided the time is now for Stanislaus County to start a military academy of our own, where students learn about discipline, honor, and respect. And we're going to start this campus in Turlock, and it's a little inclusive right now as to who the students are that can join this, but we have staff in place. We already have students that are enrolled and ready to go. They'll wear uniforms. They'll have a military curriculum. But the difference is it's not a residential. It's a day school. They'll come in their military uniforms, and they'll leave at the end of the day. Hopefully, we'll be able to compete against other counties when they have marching exhibitions and things of that nature with their platoons and companies. And we have found in researching and visiting other sites that it makes a difference in the lives of students. And hopefully we're going to target a lot of our students that need a little discipline and support in their lives. Maybe that's been a void, and they want this. They're going to sign up and volunteer for it. I'm really excited about this. So once again, you'll be getting an invitation to the grand opening of the Stanislaus Military Academy. That will be coming in September. So that's a little highlight of things that have happened this past year, a little snapshot of the great things that are going on, and a preview of excitement just around the corner. I appreciate the time, and as always, the support of the Board of Supervisors, and I wish you a great summer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chagnon. Does any member of the board have any questions for Mr. Chagnon?
I would like to thank Tom for the work that he has done. We have partnered in a couple initiatives this year, the mentoring program, which was a great success, that is spearheaded on the county side, and on the school side, the fitness challenge, which was just wonderful for county staff. A number of departments participated in the fitness challenge, and anything we can do to stimulate and motivate our employees both to give back to the community and to be more physically fit and healthy is a welcome opportunity, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. We have a friendly rivalry now because we are having the mentor program and the fitness program, where our employees and the county employees are working together to achieve greater things for our community. So thank you for bringing that up.
Well, I don't know if I would call it a friendly rivalry because we are going to win.
All right, I'll talk to Keith later. Right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chagnon. This is the time in our meeting where we have a public comment for anyone in the audience who wishes to address this board on an item that is not on the agenda. I have no written request to speak, but if anybody would like to address this board on a non-agenda item, please come to the podium, state your name for the record. Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Any member of the board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Second.
A motion's been made by Supervisor Chiesa, seconded by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. We will now move to agenda item A5, approval to change the location of the board meeting for to Patterson on August 18th. Is there any staff report for that?
Just a quick briefing. Traditionally, the county has periodically moved its evening meeting to a different location just to share information with cities in the county. We haven't done this for several years for a number of reasons, challenges with the budget and economics and just schedules and timing. We've had a request to schedule a meeting in Patterson on August 18th, it'll be an evening meeting, a joint board meeting with the board and council meeting with the city of Patterson. The item is before you today because if we are to take that action and schedule this meeting, we do need approval to change the location to the city of Patterson.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, do we have an agenda for this meeting? I mean, I noticed in the staff report that normal county business will not be conducted during this special meeting. So I'm just wondering, what are the topics?
Those haven't been defined yet. The goal and the expectation is that we identify non-controversial matters to discuss with the city of representatives in the city of Patterson. The reason that county business isn't conducted on those evenings is that neither is city business, and the intent is to just simply address areas of mutual interest for the purpose of sharing thoughts and ideas.
And I'm all in favor of that. The better along we can get with cities, the better off we all are going to be in the region. I just wonder, why just Patterson? Can I add the three cities in my district?
We certainly can. We can begin to schedule out. I would suggest that would happen. We have 9 cities in Stanislaus County, that would happen over a several-year period. If we schedule with the cities and see if we could do 2 or 3 a year.
My concern, obviously, is they're going to want to talk about West Park, and being that we're in the middle of litigation, I don't know that that can be a topic.
Yeah, we would decline to include in the agenda discussions of West Park or other areas that could be controversial. We cannot control what happens in public comments, however, and that is probably the biggest exposure and the biggest risk to the county.
It's just my opinion. It's all or none. So I think this board needs to make a commitment to all 9 cities. I don't know that we can single any out.
I don't have a problem in going with other cities. remember before I was on the board, the supervisors met in the city of Newman, and I believe in the city of Ceres also.
Yeah.
And so it has been done before. Normally, the chairman has they can request that the board meeting be in the cities. I chose Patterson not because of any controversial issues, but because they meet at the same time that we do on Tuesday evenings, and the other two cities in my district meet on Mondays. So, Supervisor Chiesa?
I wanted to echo Bill's comments. We either make a commitment to all the cities. At some point, we get around. I know it'll take time. We can't do it. But if there's going to be value here, if we're going to take our staff and move them out, there's a cost associated with that. I guess if we're not doing county business, maybe it can be some of that can be alleviated. But I just want to make sure there's value there and that the opportunity's also there for the other cities to participate.
I would say that given our existing budget challenges, I would not be recommending that unless the city chambers are set up for it, that we be broadcasting and rebroadcasting the joint meeting, because the cost of bringing a consultant in to handle the taping and rebroadcast of meetings is fairly costly. It's in the couple $1,000 range. So those meetings, unless the city is set up to record the meetings, I would not recommend we expend the additional resources to rebroadcast.
Yeah. All the three cities in my district are all set up for broadcasting.
Most, but not all of them are.
Well, even Newman has. I'd be surprised if there was a city that wasn't.
I know that Houston doesn't. I don't believe that Waterford does. Do they know?
They do.
Okay.
And Patterson has a brand new city hall.
Yeah, Patterson should be set up for that.
Modeled after the old Hotel Del Porto. Other comments?
Just questions for you. I mean, we talked a little bit about finances. We can make it fly if we see all nine cities come through and rotate.
And not if we do it every month, we can't. I could see doing two cities, maybe at most three cities in a year. The other thing it does, it takes county staff away from their normal job duties. Yes. On a Wednesday, on a Tuesday, and there is additional prep time associated because we do expect our department heads to be present at the meetings, the joint meetings. To make small presentations or at least introduce themselves as we go from city to city. So there are some costs associated with it. I would adamantly request that we not try to schedule nine cities in a 12-month period.
Supervisor Grover.
I'd venture a guess that the city that Supervisor Monteith and I have in our districts has very little interest in meeting with us. But I would suggest that maybe in 2010 we consider one city from District 1 and one city from District 2, spread it out through the year, and then kind of proceed that way. And I'll make the motion for approval.
Okay, motion's been made by Supervisor Grover. Is there a second? Okay, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion is carried 5-0. Okay, we will now move to agenda item B12, approval to waive the second reading and adopt the ordinance approving the reinvestment plan for the city of Riverbank.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a few comments before we hear the staff report?
Go ahead, Supervisor O'Brien.
I'm not sure this is going to be the big showdown that maybe a newspaper article this morning kind of lined it up as. This has nothing to do with my unhappiness with the politics in the city of Riverbank. We'd be discussing this today even if the city of Riverbank got along and there were no recalls and they were one big happy family. But what my job is to the four of my colleagues up here is to make sure you understand that there is some controversy to this issue, and it's my job to make sure you're completely informed before we make this decision. it's not a chess game as indicated by the city manager. It's my job to notify you of all the facts of this decision, and I guess if that's a chess game, then I guess it's game on. But we just need to understand all the facts on this redevelopment decision before we make it.
Okay. You want to have the staff report, Mr. Ford?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kirk Ford, I'm your Planning and Community Development Director. I'm also the Executive Director of the Stanislaus County Redevelopment Agency. The action item that you have before you this morning includes a recommendation to authorize an ordinance, and then we're actually adding language to an existing ordinance, to include contiguous portions of the county's unincorporated territory into the existing riverbank redevelopment area. A little bit of background. In 2004, the Riverbank Planning Commission adopted a preliminary project boundaries for their redevelopment area, and that included about 1,000 acres total. About 92 acres, or 10% of that, or 9% of that, was unincorporated contiguous territories. And you can see that in this map as the light green surrounded in blue. Those were the areas, unincorporated areas, that were included originally, totaled about 93 acres. Those areas were included due primarily to the existence of blighting conditions in these areas, the opportunity to respond to service and infrastructure needs in those areas, the potential for economic growth, and the adjacency of those areas within this current city limits, or adjacent to this current city limits, excuse me. The revenue pass-through that was allowed pursuant to Health and Safety Code estimated the loss of property tax revenue for those four areas at the time to be about $732,000 over the entire 45-year lifespan of the plan, and that's for those four existing areas. In December of 2006, the City of Riverbank returned to this board requesting adoption of a resolution designating the boundaries of the proposed survey area for potential redevelopment area expansion. And the area that they request for expansion is here in the south, bounded by Clarabelle, the Army ammunition plant, and to the north to the existing city limits. This amendment, and that request in 2006 started this amendment process. This amendment to the Riverbank RDA seeks inclusion of an additional 320 acres, and again, that's inclusive of the Riverbank Army ammo plant and 175 acres of adjacent unincorporated territory, all of which is within the sphere of influence or the city limits of the city of Patterson. The sphere goes down to Clarabelle Road, the city of Riverbank, excuse me. The revenue pass-through, the timed revenue pass-through from per Health and Safety Code section 33607.5 estimates the potential loss of property tax revenue for this additional RDA expansion area to be an additional $1.43 million, but that would be over the entire 45-year period of the life of the agency. So the total property tax loss to the county was estimated, inclusive of the four areas that were done previously, and this one is about $2 million. Tim Ogden with the City of Riverbank's Housing and Community Development Director is here this morning to present this item and to speak to the importance of this amendment, and I'd like to turn this over to him at this point in time.
Good morning, Chairman and Board. Pleasure to meet before you and discuss this item. I have a presentation that I prepared, a little boring, a little technical, but I can go through that if you'd like, or if you have some questions, I'd be glad to answer those as well at your leisure.
That's it, Supervisor O'Brien. Another question for you?
Yeah, actually, just the things I want to discuss are, there's been some controversial projects that City Riverbank's done.
Yes.
And my concern is sitting here making sure that, you know, if that's the path that Riverbank's going to continue on, I'm not real interested in giving up any more county land for it. And the projects are specifically Del Rio Theater. I think you've spent close to $2 million in that project that now has to be torn down. The downtown project has dragged on forever, which has been a great hardship on the businesses downtown. The waterfall, although I know not all $544,000 came out of redevelopment, it's still taxpayer dollar that redevelopment helped put in. And then lastly, it's, you know, some of the trees, the tree project on the viaduct over the railroad tracks. It's my job to let this board know that
citizens of Riverbank are not happy. And I'm not talking everyday citizens. I'm not talking to politicians. I'm not talking to political talking heads out there. I'm talking about the everyday citizens, next door neighbors and all the rest saying, what are they spending the money on? And so that's my concern. I am a strong supporter of redevelopment. Strong supporter. I'm also a strong supporter of being good stewards of taxpayer dollars. And at this point, I don't know that the city of Riverbank can say they've been good stewards of taxpayer dollar. And I just want to find out what the future projects, if any of our, have been identified, of what your plans are. I know we're up against a time frame, and that's why this meeting is important. Army plan is going to be up for sale, and we've got to get this in place prior to that.
Correct.
And so what are the future plans with redevelopment funds in Riverbank?
Okay, great. Appreciate those questions. There has been some controversy with some of the projects. A large part of that is some of the educational aspect of how the public bid process works, how prevailing wage works, and the expenses that have come along with some of those projects. I can't go along with all of that, that they were mismanaged funds, or that the projects weren't appropriate, and that there hasn't been some controversy. There definitely has been, and some unfortunate risks the city's taken that haven't panned out as planned. But the rest of the projects still have some viability and some great promise for the future. The Del Rio Theater, there was a structural study done that couldn't be done before the building was acquired, and unfortunately over $1 million is required to make the structurally sound to then inhabit it again. And so the city council said if we can't find any other funding or any other options, then demolition would be appropriate. We're still trying to fine-tune and vet any other options that makes us to preserve that project. The downtown construction project, we made a conscious decision to split the project into two parts that ended up costing over $1 million more and taking almost a year longer, in part because of flooding that was occurring downtown impacting our businesses. So unfortunately, the project now has taken longer and been more expensive. A more accurate number is probably closer to $9 million and $15 million. $15 million was actually the bond that we took out to pay for some of these projects. Nevertheless, we do plan on learning from some of those projects early on and moving forward. In our redevelopment plan, we have some some skeleton-type projects that would be needed to justify why a redevelopment agency is needed out there. They're estimated at $48 million worth of expenditures that are needed out there. And those cover everything from road and sidewalk improvements, utility improvements.
What page are you looking at, Tim?
In the redevelopment amended plan, it's pages 18 through 21. And these describe projects that were envisioned for the original project area and for the added territory area. It's not in your agenda report. It's actually in one of the attachments. Correct. Okay. But to be clear, there are no projects on the books at this point. We're still trying to get this area, obviously, in the project area, and then we'd move forward with sufficient public awareness and public comment period on any projects going forward. We did have a joint public hearing June 29th of this year and heard from many county residents who appreciated the opportunity to have infrastructure improvements made out there in the area. They were concerned about rushing into annexation. We explained to them that this process is not annexation. They still have the right to vote on that. They did acknowledge that they wouldn't likely see any county funding coming their way to make those improvements otherwise, and that redevelopment could possibly expedite some of those improvements they need. And they talked about Lake Davis that happens out there off Davis. There's no lake, but when there's flooding, there's infrastructure, storm drainage, and sewer systems, and there are some problems out there. So if redevelopment can help with that, we'd definitely like to. And that's described in these pages here about possible roads, water, sewer, storm drain, and other projects that could happen out there. What I actually envision happening is because the Army Ammunition Plant is really the impetus into why we're doing this amendment. We have the base closing out from federal ownership. They're selling some of the parcels, approximately 30 acres this year, this fall. The rest of it is likely going to come to the city of Riverbank as under ownership and have us maximize any grants that we can do to make improvements out there and what the redevelopment agency can assist with and to get it back in the private sector where it belongs. So it would be a short-term kind of arrangement until we can really maximize what the city's involvement can be. The county portion, the unincorporated areas, be included because of the contamination that has come from the Army Ammunition Plant and the underserved infrastructure that they have out there. So hopefully we'll move forward and put together some appropriate projects that leverage your investment in this and our investment in the private sector, more importantly.
Question for our staff. If, you know, this is approved in a year or two or three or four down the road, there's not any improvement in the stewardship of the dollars. I don't think the county could ever take their land out of the redevelopment agency. Or could they?
I believe there would be a process to go through, but it would incorporate going through exactly the same process that we're doing right now, which would be the city of Riverbank would have to pass an ordinance, the county would have to pass an ordinance, and you would have to reverse, essentially, the tasks.
Okay. And then maybe the other question I have is, since there's unincorporated land included in the area, could at some point in the future a county representative be on the redevelopment agency?
That would be a discussion for the Riverbank Redevelopment Agency. If you're thinking something similar to the Ceres, Stanislaus Ceres Redevelopment Agency, you'd have to talk to the city of Riverbank's Redevelopment Agency itself to determine how their bylaws are written.
Okay. In the least, we'd welcome you to our meetings and give your voice. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. I have no future questions or further questions. Again, I'm a strong supporter of redevelopment. Just a little leery of how the money's been spent, and I guess I'd be in support today of this, just with the strong words back to your city, let's do it right, let's be good stewards of the taxpayer dollar, and let's use redevelopment to better the city.
Great, thank you.
Supervisor Glover.
A few questions of Mr. Ford. Could you outline the other cities in our county that have unincorporated areas in their redevelopment zones?
Certainly. The city of Modesto does. Along Paradise Road, I believe, is one of the areas where we have...
Included in County Island?
Included in County Island.
But how about contiguous areas outside of city limits?
Yes, those would be outside the city limits, but still within their sphere of influence. Very similar to this. City of Ceres, actually, we have a joint redevelopment agency that we formed with them, the Stanislaus Ceres Redevelopment Agency, and some of those areas are unincorporated islands within the sphere of influence of the city of Ceres. And I'm not sure if we have islands within Turlock or not, but certainly Ceres and Modesto.
Have we discussed a joint facility here rather than just Riverbank only?
We've not been party to any discussions like that at this point.
Okay. Could they revamp this application to include just the ammo plant and not additional unincorporated area?
They could certainly revamp their application to include anything that they would like to.
Yeah.
They've requested, the request is for the unincorporated territory to be inclusive.
The time frame we're up against is the fact that the Army plant intends to sell prior to them going back out and recirculating a new plan that had Army plant only.
Okay.
We'd have to get through both of our readings by July 20th?
Correct. And that's because...
That's 6 days. 6 days. They need 2 readings. We need 2 readings.
Yeah, there's not much time.
I have serious concerns of why make the area bigger if we're not happy with the way it's been handled so far. It's disingenuous, I think, to hold out in front of these folks that have substandard residential communities the idea that this is going to bring a lot of change to their community. The whole reason for the redevelopment is to improve the commercial aspects and bring jobs. And I know how pitifully short money goes when you start trying to rehab curb gutter, sidewalks, storm drains, those kind of things in unincorporated areas. And I have serious reservations about making the area bigger if we haven't handled well what we've done so far.
Has there been any thought at all of having a joint redevelopment agency between the county and the city of Riverbank, similar to what we have in Ceres?
I can address why Ceres is different. Ceres has unincorporated land that's also outside of the sphere of influence, and that's a good reason why you'd want to do a joint powers authority, because Ceres wouldn't have eventual jurisdiction over that area. The case here in Riverbank is it's all within the sphere of influence. So at some point, and again, a redevelopment agency lasts 45 years, Hypothetically, all those unincorporated areas could be annexed into the city of Burbank, and you have appropriate jurisdiction at that point.
Yeah, I'm on that redevelopment agency in series, and I don't recall any of that area that's not in the sphere of influence of the city of series. I could be mistaken, but I don't think it is. Supervisor Keyes, is it the joint redevelopment agency between the county and the city does work very well, because we have two supervisors on that, and the mayor and the city council, so it's fantastic. Well, Mr. Rison, you used to be on that redevelopment agency when you were on the city council.
Stan Rison, Chief Executive Office. The Stanislaus Series Redevelopment Commission is composed of both county board members and city council representatives, and all that area is unincorporated, but within the city of Series Sphere of Influence.
Yeah, it's all of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my understanding, too. Supervisor Chiesa.
Mr. Ogden, does... As I go through this too, this just one question begets another question. But you have no plans. I mean, no definitive plans for the money at this point. You have something, probably 10,000 foot elevation. But do you guys need the if you take this in, are you going to use the tax increment? You're obviously going to use it outside, but are you going to finish projects that you couldn't complete otherwise? When I hear about the problems in downtown Riverbank, the downtown area, or is this money going to stay to improve those areas, or can you answer that? Is this just an unknown at this point?
Mostly an unknown. It depends on what the city council's direction is to staff. I would envision, though, and it would be my recommendation to my city council, that we use those expenditures primarily at the Army Ammunition Plant. There's significant infrastructure upgrades that need to be done there, and I would probably prioritize that over the county unincorporated island area. But over 40 years, over even 10, I would envision us making some of those improvements to the unincorporated area as well.
But you understand why there's serious reservations up here, and that, and I think Supervisor O'Brien alludes to the fact that it seems like there's been some dysfunction along the line, and what is there other than you standing before us, the lone wolf they sent you out here. What is there to tell us that things are going to change?
I could throw out a few things. One is we've had 18 different resolutions from 4 different public bodies, including this body, that has given unanimous approval thus far to us moving forward on this effort. We received 7 public comments during our joint public hearing from county residents and businesses out at the Army Ammunition Plant that are in support of this effort. I received 0 written or oral testimony against this plan amendment. So there's unanimous support, as far as the record is concerned, written or otherwise, that says this is a good thing for Riverbank and for the county.
For staff, those are the little white spots. Those are Williamson Act areas?
Yes, they are, and they can't be included in the redevelopment area.
And are they trying, did they exercise their option to remove themselves?
I'm not sure if they filed notices of non-renewal or not.
The northern piece had a project proposal for multifamily development back in 2006, I believe, when the market then fell out and they let their permit expire at that point. They had planned to incorporate at that point, and so we actually had it included originally, and that's part of this 2-year delay, was removing that and going through a formal process to remove that from the map boundaries.
Supervisor Monteith.
Was it anticipated that the federal government was going to put up the bomb plant for sale? I guess my concern is, why has it waited until the last moment to do this?
Their deadline...
Were you looking at this previously, or was this just motivated because you were just notified that the plant would be up for sale? What's your timing?
Couple things. The Congress mandated the Army to get rid of all their property by September 2011.
How long ago did they make that decision?
2005.
So it was done in 2005, so you're talking 4 years ago.
They announced that it would be closed by 2011, and part of that process was finishing up cartridge production from NI, and so they could relocate equipment and their production of cartridge case making to Rock Island, Illinois. And so that just finished June of this year. So now they're disassembling equipment that they're taking to Rock Island, Illinois. The rest of it will stay at the plant, available to the businesses there. We started the process shortly after we discovered that it would be on the closure list. The Congressman in 2005, so right away, 2005, 2006, we presented to this board that this was our desire. Had to finish a reuse plan according to Congress's requirements of how the city would reuse the property, what land uses it would incorporate out there, what studies of infrastructure improvements would be needed. And so that process took until local approval in November, and then we had a federal agency approve it finally in February. And so then wrapping up all the blight studies that show that 90% of the properties out in this amended area have blight and would qualify according to the community redevelopment law. And so really since February, we've been gung-ho rushing to get this done in time.
Okay. So, but you were notified that this action would take place starting in 2005?
They announced that it would be.
Okay. Then when were you notified of the procedures? In other words, I'm trying to figure out why all of a sudden it's a rush. Did you start soon enough, or were you not able to get the information needed to put it into place? Or what?
This process started in 2006. They've been working on this annexation for annexation of the redevelopment area, not into the city, since 2006. So they started the process. This report was completed back in November of 2008. This report was done. So they did start the process early. It's just now it's coming down to having to be completed by next week, next Monday.
Okay. So they went through the regular process and one led to another process, to another process.
It's
thank
process.
You. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
The redevelopment agency in Riverbank is relatively new, isn't it, within the last 3-4 years?
We got established in 2004.
Yeah, because I remember when it came.
And I guess this is where I get in a catch-22, because I was mayor when we got redevelopment in, and it was a struggle, and we had to convince the community that we would be good stewards of the money, and that hasn't happened. And so that's why this board needs to be fully informed of what it is that Riverbank's asking for. I'm still in support of redevelopment. I think we can accomplish, local government can accomplish great things with redevelopment. Basically, Riverbank just needs to pull it together and prove that they can do it. And so it's a really tough decision. And basically, I got to put my faith in the city of Riverbank that they're going to do things right. And that's how my vote's going to reflect today, that I'm putting a lot of faith in you guys to turn around redevelopment.
We won't take that lightly. Thank you.
We would have known that you were going to spend $500,000 on a water feature. We would have given you ours. And then
we wouldn't have taken it. I apologize.
We would have paid you to take it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Ford, is it too late at this time to establish a joint Stanislaus County Riverbank Redevelopment Agency? The timeline is too late to do that?
If you're looking at this particular annexation with the ammo plant issues, it would certainly not be possible to do that, to set it up specifically for that. I think it might be something that this board or staff might look into in the future. And discuss it with the City of Riverbank and their redevelopment agency. But for this particular activity, since we've only got 6 days between today and when the thing is due, I don't think with the resolutions and all of the actions that would need to be taken by both different jurisdictions, that would be a little difficult. And you've already got an existing redevelopment area already set up, so you need to deal with that as well.
And this is a suggestion. I don't know if it can ever be changed in the future, but the redevelopment agency that we have between Stanislaus County and Ceres does work very well, and that money stays right within that footprint of that redevelopment agency. It's not spread through the Ceres redevelopment agency, which is separate. So just a suggestion, because I'm on that board and I'm satisfied with the way it's working there. Okay, further questions from the board? Do you have more to your presentation?
No.
Okay, if you do consider another water feature, please come see us. We have one that might be available. Mr. O'Brien, what do you say?
I'll make a motion to approve the staff recommendations. And I guess just add the request that Riverbank consider adding a county representative to their redevelopment agency.
A second? I will second it then. Motion's been made by Supervisor Bryan and seconded by myself for approval. Any further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
District 1, Supervisor O'Brien.
Aye.
District 2, Supervisor Chiesa.
No.
District 3, Supervisor Grover.
No.
District 4, Supervisor Monteith.
Yes.
District 5, Chairman DeMartini.
Aye. And the tally? 3-2?
Correct.
Okay, motion passes. You just barely made it there, so we hope you will be good stewards of the money.
If I can make a comment, my vote did not at all reflect my esteem for my colleague, Supervisor O'Brien, or Mr. Ogden, but for the lackadaisical at best and poor performance of the efforts for redevelopment currently, and no controls on going forward with what might come here.
Yes, although I did, approve this, I still think that the best process would be to have a joint redevelopment agency, just like we have with Ceres. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors sits on it, and the city members. And that, if you want control, Mr. O'Brien, I think that this might be an option you might want to look at.
Yeah. And that was part of my motion to make that, that request that they consider. It'll take both of us to do it.
Okay, we have no scheduled matters. We will move to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the 2008-09 Grand Civil Grand Jury Report regarding the Sheriff's Department, Correctional Facilities Inspections, and the Monterey Park Tract Community Services District.
Referred the Chief Executive Officer, Sheriff, Probation Officer, and County Council in Election.
This board has received 5 letters from the State Water Resources Control Board regarding orders approving petitions for temporary change of water to authorize the transfer of water to 2009 drought water bank.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the State Water Resources Control Board regarding a notice of petition for temporary change to authorize the transfer of water from the City of Sacramento and the Sacramento Suburban Water District to the 2009 Drought Water Bank.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the Shell Pipeline Company, LP, regarding pipeline safety and the options for securing information about the locations of pipelines within Stanislaus County.
Refer to the Department of Public Works.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Surface Transportation Board regarding the abandonment of a 5.18-mile line of railroad known as McHenry Industrial Lead.
Refer to the Department of Public Works.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor Grover.
I do have one. I was invited to the monthly mayor's meeting, the mayor's of Stanislaus County, and we had at that meeting the mayors from Patterson, Modesto, Turlock, Ceres, and Newman, which is a representation of about 90% of the county, and they unanimously and eagerly endorsed the idea of getting going on our growth management plan. And I know we've talked in the past about forwarding a portion of that money that we've set aside to the executive committee at StanCog to select a consultant and project manager and get going with it. And I think now is the time to do it. So I'm open for any questions that might be here from the board, but I think we need to get going.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Grover. Are there any other supervisors who have reports? I would like to make one comment that I participated in the Patterson Centennial Parade, which was 4th of July. That is one of two parades that the city is going to have to commemorate 100 years of its founding, and the next one will be on Labor Day in September. And I had a 100-year-old car that I drove in that parade, too. The city was 100 years old. That was, well, I just I'll let everybody know that on Labor Day weekend, there will be another parade in Patterson commemorating their centennial. Is there anyone else who has a report? Okay, seeing none, legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Robinson.
And before I do, so what was that 100-year-old car?
It was a 1909 locomobile.
Wow.
And that is a company that went out of business in 1932.
Wow, very cool.
It's a brass car. It has kerosene lanterns for lights.
Would you mind revealing a little bit more of how they got to that name? I mean, it has nothing to do with the owners of the car or anything, right?
No, the the locomobile actually comes from the word locomotive, and it was because when they began manufacturing in 1898, they were steam cars. They were one of the very first manufacturers of cars in the United States, and loco was for the locomotive. In 1905, they discontinued the steam engine, sold their rights to their engine to the Stanley Brothers, and that's where Stanley Steamer got its engine. It was a locomobile engine. And they went to gasoline, which is was a very wise business choice, because a steam car cannot run without steam, so you have to start the boiler and heat up the water, and it's quite a process in getting things started up in the morning and moving. The gas engine is much better.
And how many locomobiles are there in the world today?
Not very many. The one that I have, there's only two in existence. There's only one other one in the Midwest. Very few, they're a small company. Very few exist today. I don't know the number, but it's probably from beginning to end. I would be surprised if it's more than 300.
Wow. Very cool. On the legislative side, the Senate, federal, particularly Senator Feinstein, calling for forms to be filled out for Safety Lou. We've received notice this week, actually, that there's a proposal to do an 18-month extension in the existing reauthorization bill. It is doubtful that new projects would be added in this bill, but we are checking with our lobbyists into this to determine if, in fact, there is an opportunity. On the state side, as you all know, we are still in deadlock in budget discussions. The legislature has their 30-day recess scheduled for Friday. Big Five are meeting fairly regularly. We know our legislators don't want to miss their vacations, and so we think there's additional incentive for them to try to get a budget out in the next few days, and they are making some progress. We do have two bills of significance that I wanted to speak to very quickly. SB 684, negative bailout bill, did pass, and this is a Cogdill bill, passed out of the Assembly Local Government Committee last week. It's been referred to Assembly Appropriations and would need to be referred back to the Senate from the Assembly once since it's been amended in the Assembly. Also, SB 532, state highway route, moving forward pretty quietly. We would expect that we will have an item before you on July 21st requesting your support for the bill, and that is redefining the North County Corridor, Highway 108 potential locations.
Certainly I hope they get that budget passed. I wouldn't want to see our legislators miss their vacation.
One of our lobbyists, Mr. Peterson's comments was that increasing pressure from significant others of the legislators translated to spouses have vacations planned and expect their legislator to be back home again soon may prove to be enough of an additional incentive to get this budget finally through and in the hands of the governor for signature.
Supervisor Grover.
Question for Mr. Robinson. Regarding the extension of safety lieu 18 months, it seems to me that that could work in to our benefit from the standpoint of 18 months more of the 132 West process gets us to the point where we probably have expended that amount of money in a constructive way and would be a legitimate request then for construction funds to whatever comes next after safety lieu. Do you read that the same?
Yeah, I read it exactly the same. I was actually pretty excited for that precise reason. It gave us some, I won't say breathing room, but some additional opportunity to expend the 132 West funds in what would then be a timely manner.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay, we will now move to closed session. Mr. Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, we're going to conduct a conference with the labor negotiator. The agency's negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organizations under consideration is the Stanislaus Sworn Deputies Association. We do not expect any report out.
This meeting stands adjourned.